Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts and don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates, you keep your head high, and you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror, and that's one person you don't want to cheat. So now it's on you. It's your decision to make. You're going to hold back and leave a little something inside, or you're going to do your job and leave nothing.
Boys and girls, welcome, 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 welcome. It is the Balanced Gridiron Saturday morning. It is the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I'll tell you what, it is going to be a good show. Got an action-packed show for you. Joining us right now, our intern co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Coach Fan. How we doing, sir?
Good. How you doing?
You know, never better. I tell you what, we've got a great jam-packed show for us today. Obviously, coming up here about 9:10, we're going to jump right into the fantasy football huddle. Colts are on a bye week this week, so we don't have to worry about them losing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a good week, and we don't have to worry about that.
It's going to be a very, very good week. All right, guys, write down these digits because in about 5 minutes you can give us a call. About 10 minutes, you can give us a call here, 917-889-8516. This is the Balanced Gridiron. We're ready to get this show started, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balanced and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. All right, welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and it is going to be a good Saturday. Got a lot of things on the grid for you today. Obviously, like I said, coming up here right at 9:10, we got the Fantasy Football Huddle. Myself, Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Bowl fan, and Michael Daly, going to break down Yeah, what's going on in the fantasy football arena? Coming up here right at the bottom part of the hour, now we're 9:45 Eastern, going to have Evan Williams from Bleeding Gold and Black, Purdue blogger, going to talk to us a little bit about Purdue basketball. We're going to jump into some basketball talk. Yes, guys, it's getting that time of season where we're going to be talking football and basketball, and then obviously we're going to be talking some college football at the top of the hour. Got Jimmy the intern going to be calling in. We're going to be talking, or at least we hope we're going to be able to get him to call in. But for sure, I know at some point we're going to have Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show call in. Obviously, me and Gary do the Balance/Gary Snyder Show Monday through Friday right here on the Balance Radio Network from 5 to 7 p.m. And then we from 10:30 to 11, guys, it's all NFL. One team we won't be talking about, Brian, is the Colts.
Thank goodness.
All right. So let's jump right into this. And obviously, we want to make sure that we do mention this as a somber moment. Oklahoma State's I'm sorry, I lost my notes there, Brian. But Oklahoma State's women's basketball coach and assistant coach was killed Thursday night in a plane crash over Arkansas. They were on a recruiting trip. So sad to report that. All right, Brian, take about 60 seconds and tell us what you know this week.
Oh, I don't know. We don't have to worry about the Colts losing. That's a good thing. The whole thing with Penn State, you know, that whole scandal, and now, you know, more people might be coming out, which is even more sickening. Like I said last week, and I think that there's going to be a lot more victims that are going to be coming out, and over a period of time, I mean, I believe it's going to be one of those things. It's just going to be never-ending saga with them, and we're starting to realize, you know, how sick the Sandusky guy was, and you know, I kind of feel bad for Joe Paterno in a way, but then you got to look at it on the other side that, you know, he knew about this. He had some kind of insight on this. So for him to hold something like this back from the authorities because he's, you know, trying to protect the college, which, okay, yeah, you know, I kind of understand that, but it's just a sickening thing. And now it's going all the way back to the 70s, and that's just, wow, it's just unbelievable.
Well, no, and I absolutely agree, and it has just been one of those sagas that we wish that had never started, and we wish that would go away. Obviously, it's a sad part of, and we spent a lot of the show last week talking about, you know, Joe Paterno and you know what's going on there, and you know, here's the thing. Now we're seeing even more that, you know, there might be some other people involved here. So, you know, certainly want to make sure that we withhold information on that, I guess, until we know it. But, you know, here's the nuts and bolts of it. If you've been living under a rock, the local charity there, Second Mile, founded by Jerry Sandusky, the former Penn State defensive coordinator, who earlier this month was charged with 40 counts of sexually abusing young boys, is preparing to fold as it tries to reconstruct on what it knew and what it did about suspicious or allegations against Sandusky over the years. Now, David Woodle, the interim chief executive of the charity known as the Second Mile. Now, what he said in an interview Friday that the foundation was seeking to transfer its programs to another not-for-profit organization. So obviously, Second Mile probably will not be around anymore. And for just cause, the Second Mile's leaders are looking at organizations that could and would carry forward the foundation's work with disadvantaged youths. He would not say which organizations would be candidates. So, you know, it is a sad thing to see that happen in the way in which it did happen. And, you know, I just wish that we had better news and better things to talk about other than that. But unfortunately, it is what it is. And, you know, and I'm certainly by no means dismissing the story. I just think that we need to move on to bigger and bigger, better things.
We're not even close to the end with this. It's going to be ongoing for, I'm guessing, years. You know, it's just going to be something that's going to be talked about every week for a while, because I believe that there's going to be more people coming out, and it's going to be a never-ending saga for a while there, it seems like.
And I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. Well, all right, guys, we're going to move on. You know, we don't want to bring down this show anymore. I'm just kidding. Yesterday, Brian, I had an opportunity. Myself and Gary had an opportunity to talk with a new band, a new Christian rock band. And so I'll tell you what, it's always positive to talk to these young guys who are getting a lot of fame and getting a lot of celebrity status, and but play music you're not afraid to let your kids listen to in their iPods. And, you know, they were able to work a deal with Fox Sports, and they actually do the Fox College football anthem. It's called Live It Out. And Abandon was on our show yesterday and was talking about that album and talking about, you know, what they've got up and coming. They had a they're going to be on tour with the Newsboys beginning in 2012, and all the things that they've done. But they've got a great single out now that's being played throughout the sports community. They were on our show here on the Balance Radio Network yesterday evening, and so I wanted to play this new single from Abandon, Live It. The song is Live It Out. I wanted to play it. We're going to go right to a commercial break, and when we get back, it's Fantasy Football Huddle. It's Abandon and Live It Out.
It's just
you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. All right, welcome back to the Balance Gridiron. Saturday morning, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and so glad that you can join us on a Saturday morning. Well, it's time to jump right into it, guys. It is time for, without further ado, it is time for the Fantasy Football Huddle right here on the Balance Gridiron.
Welcome back. You like that, don't you?
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
All right. Fantasy Football Huddle underway. Myself and our panel of fantasy football expert, Mr. our interim co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Supercoats Fan. And as always, our panel of experts continue today. We have Mr. Michael Daly of the...
Good morning, Mr. El Presidente.
Boys of Lakeview League, so good to have you along, Michael. All right, guys, let's kind of talk a little bit real quickly about some of the injuries that are going on around the NFL. We'll start with you, Brian.
Well, Michael Vick, I think that's really going to hurt the Eagles. Vince Young, I mean, coming in, I don't really know if he can really handle that offense. I mean, he really hasn't proved himself in the past, and I think that injury is going to be key for the Eagles.
Michael?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, Michael Vick is really – I've got him on one of my teams. Fortunately, I've also got Cam Newton, so it makes it a little bit less of a blow. But, yeah, I think that's really going to hurt him. When a quarterback gets hurt, it directly affects every receiver too. I mean, you may have a superstar receiver, but, the quarterback may not throw to him a whole lot, or maybe he just won't be able to get him the ball. And, it just affects every receiver, it affects the running game, affects everything. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Eagles.
Well, I hate to be that guy that says, I told you so, but I told you so. You know, I told you that, at the very beginning of the season here, I said that Michael Vick is prone to injury, and that Michael Vick is not worth $100 million, and that Michael Vick, use him and abuse him, but he isn't going to be there for the entire fantasy season. I just want to go on record of saying, I told you so. All right, guys, our friends with CBS Sports has got the injury report. And then we'll get back. We'll jump right into the matchups right here on Fantasy Football Huddle on the Balance Radio Network.
is Week 11 Fantasy Owners, and it starts tonight. So let's get down to business. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. I'm Lauren Shahadi alongside the usual suspects, Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. Fantasy owners sitting at home, sitting at work, give them one piece of advice going into Week 11. Dave.
Now's the time to get your quarterback situation ready for the rest of the season. Know who you want to start from week in and week out. Have a good backup if you've got one. Unless you've got a stud and you don't want to carry a backup, go ahead and use the roster space on something else. But have a plan in place now. Try not to go week to week playing the matchups between a couple of guys.
That's very good advice. Jamie, do you have anything for our fantasy owners?
Just watch the show.
We'll guide you.
I love this time
like
of year,
that.
Too, because there's football Thursday, Sunday, Monday. You don't have to go too long until there's actual
Sunday,
football.
Monday, Tuesday, Friday.
Let's get into injuries, shall we?
Sure.
Because we are loopy. We're in rare form today. We're helping your fantasy team. Let's talk about the Denver running back situation. Willis McGahee, will he be ready? Jamie, we know Sean Marino. And tell me about the situation with Lance Ball.
Well, I think if McGahee is inactive, you can use Lance Ball as a flex option and would not be a horrible replacement for him. We saw last week Lance Ball come in, 30 carries, 96 yards. I don't know if we'll get 96 rushing yards against the Jets, but we've seen the Jets give up a lot of production to running backs. So if he's out, Lance Ball is a suitable replacement for him. The landscape for running backs isn't very good this week, and you're talking about maybe 15 to 18 really good running backs, and then the rest are sort of in that boat.
They're like two-star running
backs. Yeah, 6 to 7 fantasy points, 8 if you're lucky. You know, so Lance Ball could be in that mix, and so if McGahee's out, you could definitely use Lance Ball.
The move that I like to do in a situation like this, and this is where the Thursday night game can actually help a fantasy owner, pick up Lance Ball right now if you can, and just hold him on your roster. And then if McGahee's active, you cut Lance Ball before kickoff of the game. You pick up somebody else off waivers. If McGahee's inactive, you've got a good flex to go with this week. But you're right. He's in that boat of 6 to 8 fantasy points.
The one thing I would disagree with is I would actually keep Lance Ball because this is a hamstring injury that could be potentially reoccur. And if you have him and he does have another good game this week, you won't be able to get him back next week. So if you pick them up, I'd sit on him for this week and just see what happens because if McGahee's out, we know, as you said, no Sean. Lance Ball will be the guy going forward.
Let's move on to the Jets situation. No Ladainian Tomlinson. So Sean Green getting the bulk of the carries. What's the range for him in terms of fantasy points?
I think he could have one of his best games of the year. And I think that because of the fact that LT isn't going to be there, Joe McKnight will be there. I don't know how much this coaching staff really trusts McKnight. And the matchup's a little dangerous for Sean Green. There's a chance he can go in here and get you only 7 or 8 fantasy points, but I think he's got a decent chance to score. I think that the Jets are looking for some stability on offense. A lot of criticism coming on Mark Sanchez. He's given good stats, but he's not winning big games for the Jets. New York needs this one bad, so I think Sean Green is a guy they'll lean on a little bit. Plus, they got away from him in the last game, only 13 carries. Jamie, they've got to give him more work than that.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, the question becomes, though, can he score? The Broncos don't give up a lot of rushing touchdowns. But I think given the opportunity here without Ladainian Tomlinson to come in and take away a couple of those goal line carries, which he's done, especially on the road, there's an opportunity here for the Jets. Mm-hmm. We saw it the last time that they lost a big game. They came back. Rex Ryan said, we're going to be ground and pound. That's when Sean Green had his best stretch, 7-11 in terms of his fantasy points. This could be an 11-week for him.
More injuries.
All right, and welcome back to the Fantasy Football Huddle right here on the Balance Gridiron. Thanks to our friends over at CBS Sports for providing us with that soundbite. You know, and for the essence of time, because we want to get into our matchups, because coming up right up here at 9:45, we've got Evan Williams of Purdue University of Bleeding Black and Gold. Going to talk with us for a few minutes about Purdue. Obviously, they took a trip out to Puerto Rico yesterday to play some basketball. So, you know, we want to make sure that we get have plenty of time to get into the matchups. So, guys, let's go right into the matchups. And I know that as we were doing show prep, I told you that there was another 6-minute soundbite that we were going to play. Obviously, we're not going to play that. We're going to go right into our fantasy football matchup. All right, guys, it's week 11. We've got some tough picks to go on. And I tell you what, the closer that we get, if you guys can pick up 5, 6, 8 wins in your season, good chances are that you can sit back and breathe a little bit. And know that you'll probably, if you can maintain that anyway, I should say, you'll probably go ahead and get into your playoffs. Okay, guys, let's get into the matchups. And, Brian, when we talk matchups, doesn't necessarily mean these two teams are playing each other.
I got the schedule in front of me this time.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. All right, guys, we're going to start out. I picked
cruel.
up this, huh?
I said you're cruel.
Oh, I thought you said it, girls. Now, we may have girlfriend. You know what? Yeah, on the balance league, we do have a girl playing. It's the only girl we've got playing. And I tell you what, she's doing good. She's doing it all by herself. I said, your boyfriend's giving you some tips. And she goes, no, I'm doing it all by myself. So, you know, she's right up there leading the pack. So go girl power. So when I say guys, I just metaphorically mean people that are listening. But this week I picked up – you know, we've talked about it here on the Fantasy Football Huddle before, and that is Carson Palmer and being moved out there to Oakland. And, you know, I wanted to give him a shot. He showed a couple weeks that he could play, and I went ahead and, you know, a lot of people might say, what in the world did you do that for? Because I tell you why, I really have not been that impressed with Phillip Rivers this year. I think he's been kind of a letdown for me. So I let Phillip Rivers go, and I picked up Carson Palmer. So I want to talk a little bit about a matchup with Carson Palmer and Matt Ryan out in Atlanta. So we'll go ahead and start with you. Just randomly pick somebody, Brian.
Just randomly pick somebody? Well,
what are two choices?
Okay. Well, I think Aaron Rodgers and playing against Tampa Bay. I mean, I think that's going to be Aaron Rodgers just going to light it up out there. I don't think Tampa's defense can hold him.
Dude, you almost made the host show without getting sad sacked. I wanted your thoughts on the matchup between Carson Palmer and Matt Ryan.
You know what? That's silly. Okay, you Carson Palmer and Matt Ryan. Okay. Carson Palmer playing against Minnesota. Minnesota is not doing good. I mean, you blame it more on their offense, but I don't think their defense has really proved itself this year. It's not like last year. Jared Allen is getting, you know, crazy amount of sacks again, but I think he's pretty much the only one on that defense that's really doing much of anything. And Carson Palmer, I mean, I think he's kind of settling in into Oakland and, you know, figuring everything out there. And I think that's going to end up I think Oakland might actually make a run for the playoffs this year, and I never thought I'd ever say that, but I think that, you know, they're gonna do it. So I would definitely play Carson Palmer if you got him. And who is Matt Ryan play? Who are they playing? Tennessee's kind of an iffy, you know. You know, iffy team. You don't know, you know, which team's really going to show up, I don't think. And, you know, Atlanta's not doing too good. Their offense is just, you know, I mean, you know, one week they'll seem like they, you know, they got it together, and the next week they're off. And, you know, so, I mean, both teams, you don't know what you're going to get out of both teams any given Sunday.
All right, go ahead, Mike, real quick. Carson Palmer and Matt Ryan.
Well, Carson Palmer, I think he's definitely on the rise out there. If he can get Darius Hayward Bay back into his rotation on who to throw to, I think they're really going to be tough to play against, especially with the running game they got. They're doing great. Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan has not looked as good this year, I don't think, as did last year. Tennessee, you know, you're right. You don't know which team's going to show up, although they – really have been fairly tough against quarterbacks. The other thing is Atlanta always tends to really ratchet it up a notch at home. And that's what's going to – I think this matchup is pretty much a toss-up because of that. If Atlanta was on the road, I would say Carson Palmer.
Well, here's my thoughts on this. So Carson Palmer – Matt Ryan thing. And guys, I randomly just pick matchups of what I think might happen. I was joking. I was really just joking with Brian because I just had to. I mean, and I
oh, it's Brian, it's every Saturday.
Hey, that's what makes the show great. And, you know, but really, I'm picking these guys at random. So if you guys do have another quarterback matchup that you want to talk about, More than fine. But here's what I want to do. You know, there's a lot to prove about Palmer this week against Minnesota Vikings, who are really, they're surrendering 23 fantasy points in a game to quarterbacks, second-best quarterback matchup. and recently lost a cornerback, Antoine Winfield, for the rest of the season. Palmer's clicking with his new offense, averaging about 315 yards and two touchdowns in its first two starts, which is why I decided that I would go outside of my conservative box just a tad and take a risk with Carson Palmer. So we'll see how that pays off. And Ryan, like you said, Ryan takes on a Tennessee, a defense that has allowed quarterbacks to top 300 yards only once this season. So that's why I have to go with Palmer in this matchup. All right, guys, let's go ahead and did you guys want to cover any other quarterbacks? I mean, I had in my notes here to talk about Jay Cutler and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I would think that Fitzpatrick would be the best matchup on that. But did you guys have any other quarterbacks you want to talk about?
No.
You know, I was actually going to say something about Jay Cutler playing San Diego. If you have Jay Cutler playing, because I believe that. I'm not a huge Bears fan. I'm not a Bears fan at all. I do dislike the Bears, but them being at home against San Diego, losing four straight, San Diego's looking horrible. I think Jay Cutler is just going to be on a tear this Sunday, and he's going to put up a lot of numbers against that defense.
Okay. Well, real quickly on that same note, and Mike, you certainly can chime in, but. Here's the thing. Since we're talking about Cutler, I'll just go ahead and use my notes a little bit that I had in that matchup. Fitzpatrick is coming off an ugly performance against Dallas. But a matchup against the 25th ranked pass defense of the Miami Dolphins is just, in my opinion, just what the doctor ordered. Miami allows 18.7 points per game to quarterbacks. Good enough or bad enough to rank the sixth best fantasy matchup for quarterbacks. And that's why I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's also one of my quarterbacks, and I'm going to go ahead and play him this week, I believe. So I would go with that. Go ahead.
Miami, I think their rankings are a little bit deceiving because they really weren't a very good team for most of the year, but these last two weeks they have come on pretty strong. And I think they're really becoming a fairly tough team. They won their last two in a row. I can't remember who I played against them last week, but I regretted it. I thought Miami, yeah, they'll tear them up, and that's not what happened.
I just believe Buffalo's showing their true colors. It's just they're a 500 team, you know.
Yeah, I think they're on the rise, but they definitely got some missing pieces.
All right, let's move into the running backs here because we're certainly pressed up against the clock here. These are my notes, but we can deviate a little bit, but I just want to make sure we get all the positions covered. And the running back matchup position that I really wanted to talk about was two good running backs that are starting to reemerge, if you will, and that's Chris Johnson and Reggie Bush. The matchups say go with Bush, but here's my thing. Daniel Thomas is back in the picture, taking carries away from Bush. And the decent chance that the Dolphins will find themselves trailing against Buffalo, to me, I think Chris Johnson's a safer play on this. Brian, what are your thoughts, Chris Johnson versus Reggie Bush?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think Chris Johnson is safer than Reggie Bush. I mean, I don't think – when Reggie went to Miami, I was kind of thinking, man, you know, that's – I do not see him fitting down there in that offense. Yeah, they got that Wildcat offense and everything, but I just don't see, you know, I think this was at the beginning of Reggie Bush's downfall in his career, and I mean, I don't think he's a good fit down there at all. And so, I mean, I would definitely take Johnson over Bush, even though Johnson really hasn't been proving himself this year. But, yeah, I would say that's a safe bet.
Mike, did you have any thoughts on this matchup? Or?
Reggie Bush. It really comes down to the matchup. I think Chris Johnson will just have a tougher time against Atlanta. They need to keep pounding at home, but Atlanta at home is much different than Atlanta on the road. And Buffalo, they're struggling right now. They've really not been known to stop a lot of running backs. So I think Reggie Bush is going to have a heyday. Reggie Bush has got so much – they're both pretty versatile. They're both pretty much complete backs, but I think Reggie Bush has got the upper hand here.
Well, you know, that's a good, that's a safe bet. I wouldn't say that that's, I'm just saying that my reasons why I would pick Chris Johnson on this. So moving on down, another two reemerging running backs that I like to watch. These are two of my favorite running backs. Unfortunately, they don't play for the Colts, but I like to watch these two guys. And these are two tough picks for me if I had to pick between these two, and that's Cedric Benson and Benny Wells. You know, Benson has been very frustrating for owners this year. I had him I had him on one of my other leagues, and I haven't been that impressed with Benny Wells at all. He had some injuries issues that if he doesn't hit pay dirt, he isn't much value. He's reached the end zone only twice this season, yet he's only up against the second toughest fantasy matchup for running backs. The only team stinger against the run than the Ravens is the 49ers. And Wells has the misfortune of matching up against them this week. Not only that, he's dealing with that bum knee that I was just talking about, and was only able to manage 2.7 yards per carry against the Eagles' run defense that yields 22 points per game to running backs. Fourth best running back matchup. So I have to go with Cedric Benson in this matchup. But I do like Beanie Wells. I mean, he's a great running back, and I think that he has a lot of potential. It's just right now for fantasy owners, I would be very, very cautious about playing him. Brian?
Cedric Benson, I mean, you know, go against that Ravens defense. That Ray Lewis might be out this week, I would definitely go take Benson. I mean, I'm totally lost now. Who was the other guy retired?
Sad.
Oh man, I'm totally lost. What was that?
I said sad sack twice. We're gonna go for the hat trick.
This is not a good morning. This is not a good morning for me. I mean, I can't watch the Pulp Lewis. I mean, come on, what am I gonna do this weekend now? You know, I mean. Yeah, but Cedric Benson, being that Ray Lewis is out, I'd definitely take him.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, Ray Lewis makes that defense.
We'll give you time to regroup. Michael Daly, Cedric Benson, and Beanie Wells.
I still take Cedric. That's a real tough matchup for both. A very tough matchup for both. I think with Ray Lewis out, I think Cedric Benson gives him a little bit of an edge there. I also have Cedric Benson in my ESPN league. Actually sitting him on the bench, though. Picked up Kendall Hunter, and that's another gamble, too, because I think Frank Gore is going to be back, it looks like. But I think there's going to be enough to spread around there with San Francisco. I think Kendall Hunter will probably get enough calls to make it worth it. Benson, though, I mean, he's really hard to predict. You know, like you said, it's going to be a little frustrating. You know, it seems like one game this year he was doing quite subpar, and all of a sudden he busts loose for a 33-yard touchdown and made it really worthwhile. But he doesn't see the end zone very much, and that's one of his big problems with playing him.
Well, and like I said, I am not a big fan in this matchup with Beanie Wells, so I'm going to go ahead and go with Benson. You know, there's a couple other running back people that we could talk about. Kendall Hunter versus Rory Hulu, Blunt versus Morris. And those two, I would take Hunter and Morris. Again, guys, make sure that you are doing your own homework. We're just trying to give you a guide here. We want to make sure that we can get through all of our positions here. And there again, so make sure that you do your own homework. We try to pick some of the best matchups that we can. If you've got questions, give us a call, 917-889-8516. Got a couple phone lines open, and we'll certainly take your questions about whatever position that you're dealing with here in the Fantasy Football Huddle. So jumping over to the wide receiver, Darius Moore, again, another Oakland Raider player, versus Robinson out there in Dallas. Here's my thoughts. If Palmer thrives this week against Minnesota, as I expect that he will, Moore will benefit the most. He propelled to the top of Oakland's pass-catching food chain last week and now faces the league's 30th-ranked pass defense compared with Robinson, who's up against the fourth-toughest wide receiver matchup in the Redskins. And the choice is pretty clear. at least for me, go with Darius Moore. Brian?
Yeah, I would definitely take Darius Moore. I mean, like I said before, I think, Carson Palmer's kind of reemerging, you know, and I believe that they're going to, you know, make a run for the playoffs, and I would definitely take him, against Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota really hasn't proved much, I don't think, in the secondary, so I'd definitely take him. And as far as, the Cowboys go, I mean, I'm not sold on the Cowboys. I mean, offense at all. I mean, once again, one of those teams that you never know who's going to show up.
Okay, Michael?
You say Denarius Moore versus who?
Laurent Robinson out there in Dallas.
Okay. I like them both. I think Denarius Moore, it seems like Denarius Moore, Carson Palmer really loves him. Throws to him a lot, and Denarius Moore showed a lot of talent at the beginning of the year. I picked him up, and then they just quit throwing to him. And now it seems like Carson Palmer seems like he's one of his favorites, and I think he's going to thrive. I think he's going to really be someone to watch in the future. As far as Laurent Robinson, I've got both players, but in different leagues, and I'm starting both. Laurent Robinson looked real good. The only problem with Laurent Robinson is he didn't get a lot of targets, and he got thrown to three times, I think, last week. Caught all three of them, and two of them happened to be for touchdowns. So it's a high risk, high reward, I think, with him. So Laurent Robinson could end up on top, but you never know if he's going to get those touchdown throws or not. They've also got Jason Witten to throw to. They've got Dez Bryant. You've got DeMarco Murray coming out of the backfield. And the other thing, too, I think is it's an important thing about the Cowboys. I think Cowboys really could end up being an offensive juggernaut. They've also got Felix Jones back in the mix now. And if they can stack those two guys in the backfield, DeMarco Murray and Felix Jones, they're going to be hard to predict. They're going to be hard to defend against.
Okay, well, let's grab one more wide receiver, and we'll try to get in some defenses or some tight ends or something. But another one that I like is DeSean Jackson versus Mario Manningham with the Giants. Obviously, Jackson with Philadelphia. Now, I totally expect Jackson to come roaring back with something to prove after he was benched last week against the Cardinals for missing a meeting. Now, Michael Vick. Again, going back to Vic, is not expected to play, and that may hurt Vince Young. But it'll help Vince Young. But Vince Young isn't exactly, I'm not sold on Vince Young. And with McClain out, and Jackson should get plenty of Young's attention. Manningham has scored two touchdowns in three straight games. But Nix and Cruz give Eli Manning plenty of other options. I would certainly go with DeSean Jackson in this pick. Brian?
I would say that's a toss-up. I mean, the Giants have plenty of, weapons there at wide receiver now. But then again, you got Vince Young coming in, and you don't know, who's going to show up, who's going to really, be there. And I would probably say DeSean Jackson. I would pick over him because, like you said, Macklin is out, and I think he's going to be targeted more. But you don't know if Vince can hit him. I mean, I'm not a fan of Vince Young, and that's really going to hurt the Eagles. And being at 3-6, they don't need to be hurt anymore. That dream team is not a dream team. That label was taken off a while ago. But yeah, I mean, I would still take DeSean Jackson over it.
Hey, Brian.
These
guys are playing each other today.
What?
I'll let you know.
He said they are playing each other.
I know that. I got the schedule in front of me.
All right, guys. We're going to have to wrap this up.
You just have to make fun of me. That's all you do.
No, I don't. This time
you're entertainment,
not me. That's okay. It's okay. We don't have Gary on yet. Gary Snyder will be on in a little while. We'll shift the gear a little bit. All right, guys. We're going to have to wrap up the huddle here on the balance. We're going to jump right in here in just a moment here, right after the break. We're going to Evan Williams. And some of the defenses to look at, and we really didn't have time to get to it, is Baltimore, Green Bay, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Detroit, and Jets. And remember, your teams that are on the bye, and one team that is on a bye, guaranteed not a loss this week, the Indianapolis Colts, guys. Woo-hoo! All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Fantasy Football Huddle. We'll be right back, and when we get back, we're going to have Evan Williams, leading Golden Black. We're going to talk a little bit of Purdue basketball. Obviously, they were out in Puerto Rico yesterday. Going to talk about their basketball season, up-and-coming basketball season, and also the Purdue Boilermakers football season. And they beat Ohio State. How about that, guys? Well, that's it for Fantasy Football Huddle this week. We'll see you all next week. Coming up next, there's more Balance Gridiron and Balance right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
Oh, bravo!
More!
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 Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Turkey. His name is Gobbles.
Garage!
And
all right! I could not resist, guys. It is the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and it is the Balance Gridiron. The Balance. We are here on the Balance Radio Network. You cannot get enough of the Balance. This is Occupy Balance time. And right along with me is my intern co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Colts fan. How we doing, Brian?
Good.
Good, good. Well, we're going to – good, good, good. We're going to jump right in. Well, we got Evan on now. Evan, are you with us?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
You're going to be our new whooping boy. No, I'm just kidding. So glad that you could join us. Evan, you're no stranger to the show here, good friend of the Balance here, and always good to get your thoughts and insight of Purdue and what's going on with Purdue. Obviously, we're going right into some Big Ten basketball. What I wanted to do is play a quick soundbite on just some Big Ten storylines, and then get back and talk some Purdue basketball and some Purdue football with you. Obviously, the Boilermakers were in Puerto Rico yesterday, so I want to talk a little bit about that with you and your coverage of some of the basketball coverage and football coverage with Purdue. We'll hear these storylines, and we'll be right back on the Balance Radio Network.
Well, let's start with the team that won both the regular season and the conference tourney title last year. That, of course, was the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Bucks welcoming Jared Sullinger back to campus, the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Preseason All-American this year. Did what he was saying he would do all along. He chose to return to Columbus for his sophomore season. Purdue gets Robbie Hummel back, two-time first-team All-Big Ten pick, who missed all of last season with his second torn ACL in as many years. He now carries on without Etuan Moore and Juwan Johnson. Indiana has a new big man on campus, literally and figuratively. 6'11" Cody Zeller, McDonald's All-American, hoping to reverse the Hoosiers' fortunes. The Indiana Mr. Basketball is the brother of North Carolina's Tyler Zeller. Penn State has a new coach after Ed DeChellis' unexpected departure for Navy. Patrick Chambers takes over in State College. Pennsylvania native, deep Philly roots. He led Boston University to two straight 20-win seasons. And, of course, the Big Ten welcomes Nebraska to the fold. Doc Sadler's team returning six of its top seven scorers from a group that made it to the postseason NIT last year. A lot of preseason storylines there, and that obviously isn't all of them. There's a ton of stuff to talk about. Of everything going on here, Sean, what intrigues you the most?
Well, Dave, I'm going to take a look at Northwestern. Is this finally the year? And Northwestern fans have been waiting longer than people were waiting for Godot in that classic play to put a little character and class into this situation. But they have John Schierner coming back, a guy that played hurt for a long period of time last year. He's healthy, can give them 24, 25 points per ball game. Drew Crawford enters his junior year. They're going to miss Michael Thompson, Dave, but they have a lot of parts coming back. Things are lined up for Northwestern if they take advantage of some early opportunities, particularly against Baylor, to build their RPI.
Yeah, for me, guys, I look at it in regards to Indiana. Is this the time, is this the year that now they become part of the Big Ten elite? It's the Cody Zeller time. Coach Green is in his fourth year. He kind of had a little leeway. People weren't expecting a lot, but now you start to build the program with a guy that can play. He has star power. You have veterans on the team now. Now is it more pressure and expectations for this Indiana team? We're not okay with the records. Now is the time for this team to take another step, and I'm interested to see what happens.
I mean, the 11th seed in the Big Ten tournament last year for the second time in 3 years, but as you mentioned, now you've got a little recruiting momentum going. You've got some star power going and a lot of experience.
Right.
You feel like maybe this is the time where they turn it around and become the elite team that we've expected them to be and that they have been historically in the Big Ten.
All right. Thanks to our friends there at CBS Sports providing us with some storylines to look at. Going into some basketball going into the basketball season. I know about you guys, but I love covering college basketball. It's one of my favorite things to cover, and so it's always exciting to start it, and obviously the climax being in March. So let's jump right into it. Our guest, and no stranger to the show, Mr. Evan Williams, bleeding gold and black from Purdue University. How are we doing, Evan?
I'm pretty good, Tom. I'm just a little tired.
Did you go out to Puerto Rico? Did you make the Puerto Rico trip? So let's talk about that game a little bit. Obviously, Purdue was out in Puerto Rico yesterday. Kind of give us a little summary of that, some highlights of things that you took away from that game.
Well, yesterday Purdue played and beat a pretty good Temple team, in my opinion. They struggled at times. They had a 10-point lead early in the first half, but then they dropped that and only led by four going into half. But they came out in the second half, and senior guard Lewis Jackson really led the team. He finished with a career high. I think he had 23 points yesterday, career high for him. And he played a great game. Robbie Hummel had 20, played another great game like he's continued to do this season. It's really nice to see him back out there. But I think this Puerto Rico tournament's been very good for Purdue. They played a good Iona team, which I think is going to be a tournament team this year. 91-90 against them, close game, but Iona is a good team, and their zone defense really forced Purdue to really change their game plan. And then yesterday, Purdue picked up the win against Temple, who also I think is going to be a tournament team. And so now Sunday they play Alabama, who this is now the third consecutive season they've played the Crimson Tide. And Alabama's ranked this year, but I think Purdue can really use this game to just kind of boost their schedule and going into the Big Ten schedule.
Well, obviously you guys have got some good seniors this year. Obviously, we're talking about Robbie Hummel and Ryan Smith. What are you going to look for from them this year moving forward on the court there?
Our group of seniors really has to be leaders out there this year. Very tough this year, losing Juwan Johnson and Equan Moore. So Robbie's going to have to really step it up this year and be the catalyst out there and really take control of the game. And also Lewis Jackson, he's got a lot of experience running the point for the Boilers. He's back, and he's going to be as good as ever. And Ryan Smith is someone who is also really going to need to step up this year. He had a good season last year in his first year as a starter. But this year as a senior, he's just really got to take his game up a notch and continue to be a big threat from beyond the arc.
Well, and I know you guys have got some a really good redshirt freshman, and I'm speaking of guard Anthony Johnson. What are your thoughts about him?
I really like what I've seen from Anthony this year. He redshirted last year to gain some strength. He was pretty lean coming into college, but he got a little bit bigger, and I really like what I've seen. He can score. He likes to go to the basket. He likes to shoot. He's a pretty good three-point shooter. He's going to be needed. I mean, we lost a big guard with Etuan Moore, but he's one of the guys who's going to have to step up and fill in, and I think he can eventually become a very, very good player for the Boilers.
Okay, now, what are your thoughts about overall season, and especially once we get into the Big Ten action and tournament spot for the Boilers? How do you think they'll finish up there?
I think Purdue is going to finish in the top half of the Big Ten. I know a lot of people have them ranked lower this year because of the losses of Johnson and Moore, but I don't think you can count Purdue out, especially with a guy like Robbie Hummel on the team. They're a good team. There's a lot of guys with experience on this team, and Matt Painter is a really good coach, and he's going to be able to lead them to a lot of victories. Purdue's a definite tourney team. I'd have to say they'll probably be – they could be anywhere from a 3 seed to a 7 seed. I mean, it just all depends on how well they play in the Big Ten. The Big Ten's going to be tough this year, so they're really going to have to step it up once they get to the conference schedule.
All right, well, let's shift gears a little bit to football. Brian, I know we didn't just purposely leave you out of this discussion, but you freely admit you know nothing about college basketball. So.
Good pick.
So I guess let's go ahead and jump into Purdue's football season. It's kind of been like a whack-a-mole for a game of wins and losses. Sometimes they stick their head up and they get whacked. Sometimes they stick their head up and they don't get whacked. So let's talk about the Purdue football season. You know, obviously in some aspects there's no surprises, but in other aspects they have been hung with some pretty good teams, and obviously with that win against Ohio State, that had to have been a huge momentum builder, Evan.
Yeah, that was a really big win for Purdue. You know, if they would have lost to the Buckeyes, they would have had to win out, beat both Iowa and IU on the road to become bowl eligible. But getting a win against Ohio State was really good. And the players that was a really big win for them. Last year, Purdue just got beat up by Ohio State. I think it was 49-0 at Columbus. And so to get the win at home, that really meant a lot to those guys, I bet. But Purdue's played some close games in some of their losses. I mean, the Rice loss was bad, but they were in it the whole time, and they really shouldn't have lost that game. They also played a very, very close game with a ranked Penn State team who I think Purdue should have won that game. They could have turned some of their field goals into touchdowns. They would have won by 2 touchdowns. There's the other 3 losses, Notre Dame, Michigan, and Wisconsin, really weren't that close. But those are all very good football teams. So I think Purdue, they just kind of shoot themselves in the foot sometimes. I think they're a good team. They're a capable team. They just got to play 4 quarters of good football.
Well, they're going to have to do that today. Obviously, coming up here in just a couple hours, Purdue versus Iowa. You know, Iowa, there again, has not really been – a football team that they've been in the past, but there again, they've held with them. So tell us a little bit about some of the keys to the game against Iowa coming up here today at noon.
Well, I think Iowa is I think they're a good team, and they're very capable of winning and winning big. It just depends on how they play. They've got some great offensive weapons. Receiver Marvin McNutt, he's outstanding out there, and the Boilers are really going to have to limit him and limit the Hawkeyes' passing game. And also, I think just Purdue has a good advantage being at home today. They're a lot better playing at Rossay than on the road. So I just think offensively they need to get on the board early and just keep scoring, you know, just keep getting on the board and building the lead, because Iowa has an offense that can put points on the board too. So I think you can't get behind in this game. This game is very important. I know a lot of people would like to win today, so the bucket game at IU is just for a win. It's not a must-win situation, even though it should always be a must-win situation against IU.
And we're going to have Evan Williams on here in just a few short minutes. And I tell you what, Indiana played Ohio State pretty well as well. So, you know, they just aren't able to get things going. So right now, if I was to pick a bucket winner for you, it would definitely be Purdue as well. Brian, do you have any questions about Purdue football for Evan? Curtis Painter.
What do you think about Andrew Luck? I know just a little bit more about NCAA football than basketball. Andrew Luck. That's it.
Hi, he's a really good quarterback. I mean, that's going to be tough for the Colts if, you know, they do get the number one pick in the draft to pass him up, but I don't know. That's really tough because Peyton's always been the guy in Indy, but he's getting up there, so I don't know what you do when it comes to Luck.
Yeah, obviously that's one of the deep conversations that we're going to have here at the bottom of the hour at 10:30 when we get into our NFL talk, and that is, do the Colts keep Peyton Manning or do they trade him when they get Andrew Luck? Now, Evan, I want to certainly maximize the time that I have with you, and I do kind of want to talk a little bit more about this Iowa-Purdue game. I mean, Iowa is last in the Big Ten in passing defense, allowing more than 239 yards per game and 18 passing touchdowns, the most of any league member, other than Indiana maybe, but Purdue's not exactly lit the world on – I guess what I'm trying to say is Purdue has not exactly lit the world on fire in its passing game. But I guess I could see it getting better in the trend moving in an upward sense that, you know, they were very good, very, very good in the third down against Ohio State and got some more important playmakers involved against the Buckeyes, obviously Edson there. So – what are your thoughts when you talk about matching up the passing games between Purdue and Iowa? What are your thoughts there?
I think Purdue is really going to have to take advantage of that on offense. They're really going to have to exploit the Iowa secondary. You're right. Purdue really hasn't had any amazing passing statistics this year, but I think that the ability is there and they're capable of being a threat offensively when it comes to the passing game. So you just have to see Caleb Turbush is going to be the starter. Robert Marvel will probably see some time today too. So I think both of them just need to trust their arms and be able to throw some deep balls today. We've got the receivers to get down there, Edison and Bush, O.J. Ross. That's what I really think that's going to be a big key for Purdue today, is to really take advantage of the passing game.
And Purdue, and also we're joined now by Jimmy, the intern. Jimmy, say hello to the world.
What's up, world? And what's up, Tom?
we were just talking about the bucket game, and we want to get into that in a minute before we let Evan go. But, Evan, one of the things, and Evan, I mean, Jimmy, you can chime in anytime you want, and And Brian is here. He's just like a kid. Better seen than not heard. But I'm just kidding.
That's the thing on mute, you know.
I'm just playing, Brian. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you, Evan, is Purdue has to stop this running game against Iowa. And it's kind of an odd statistic when you look at Marcus Cooker. Cooker, however you say his name, is one of the top rushers in the Big Ten. Yet the team of Iowa in itself is one of the least productive. So that said, Purdue will have its hands full against Cooker, however you say his name. And Mr. Media, young media expert, Jimmy the intern, might know how to say it. Is it Cooker or Cooker?
It is Cooker.
Cooker. There we go. So you say it both ways, you know you're going to get it right. With the disadvantage of not being able to play really load up against the run, for the fear of the pass, which is what we were just talking about. So Evan, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to you, Jimmy. But what does Purdue have to do to stop Iowa's running game? Go ahead, Evan. I'm sorry, did I say Jimmy? I meant Evan. Go ahead. Hello, are you with us, Evan? Evan? I see you lit up. Evan? Okay, maybe he's gone. Okay, I don't know. We dropped him somehow. It says call dropped. Okay, I guess that means can we get him back? Can we get Evan back? Okay, Jimmy, we'll direct that question to you.
Well, fair enough. What was the question? What does Iowa have to do to set up Purdue's running game?
Yeah, wait a minute. I apologize. We got Evan back. Are you back, Evan?
Yeah, I'm back. Just got disconnected.
Okay. No, that's fine. And I totally understand. We wrote the question because I was talking to get you back on the line. I was saying it's an odd statistic that Marcus Cooker is one of the top rushers in the Big Ten, and yet the Iowa is one of the least productive. And I think Purdue has to stop that running game, but they also have to stop that passing game, which is what we were just talking about. So I guess my question was, Evan, what does Purdue have to do to stop the running game against Iowa? And then we'll go to you, Jimmy.
I think Purdue's defensive line just has to play big today. Purdue's struggled with the run all year. Wisconsin just completely ran all over Purdue. And Cooker is a very good running back, and he has the ability and the talent to really have a big game. So Purdue's defense is really going to have to step it up. The defensive line, led by Kawan Short, really needs to play big today. Linebackers, Joe Holland, Dwayne Beckford, they really have to get in there and stop him and really make sure he can't break off any big runs for Iowa.
Okay, Jimmy, do you have any thoughts on the Purdue-Iowa game or stopping the run or anything like that?
Well, that's basically Evan basically took my answer to that question. Marcus Cooker, I got to see him firsthand, and actually recently at a press conference, Kevin Wilson mentioned him as one of the most talented running backs he's seen this year. You know, he's seen a host of Big Ten backs. He likes Marcus Cooker more than just about any of them. He hasn't gotten more opportunities because of the way the Iowa offense is structured. But he's one of the best running backs in the Big Ten, like you mentioned. He's up there yardage-wise. He hasn't had as many attempts as a lot of other guys. And Purdue will need Kawan Short to step up big. He's been great on the defensive line recently. Joe Holland at the linebacker position. Pride of Bishop Chatard High School, by the way. My alma mater. You know, Joe Holland needs to step up big. And then overall, I guess it's just about trying to limit the possessions that Iowa has the ball, because they're a really good offense. Maybe try to force a couple turnovers and try to hold the ball away from them, because Iowa has the ability to score a lot of points. Their defense, though, yeah, that's their weak spot.
Now, real quickly here, and we're talking to Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black, and obviously of the Purdue University. We're talking some with him as well, and with Jimmy the intern, some IU stuff. And Jimmy, I know you're underneath the weather too, so we'll try to not hold you on very much longer. But one more thing I want to talk about. Obviously, it's Purdue's playing for some bowl eligibility on Senior Day today. The Boilermakers are 5-1 at home. So they have a Big Ten three-game winning streak against some pretty good teams. So, Iowa or Purdue today, guys?
I really like Purdue in this one.
Go ahead, Evan.
Oh, sorry. I do think Purdue wins today. It's senior day for these guys. They're going to come out with a lot of fight and a lot of heart. And they're playing good football right now. Last weekend was a very good game against a pretty good Ohio State team. Not a great team, but a good team. And I do think Purdue wins today.
Well, what I want to do real quick is talk a little bit about the upcoming bucket game between Purdue and IU. I'm going to have to put you guys on hold while we connect to another thing. So if Evan and Brian and you guys could talk for – well, actually, I don't need to do that. I got somebody else doing that. Okay. We got the upcoming bucket game. What are your thoughts on that? Evan, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Bucket game is always intense, and it's always a big game for both schools. It means a lot. Each school's biggest rival. And it was tough last year when Purdue lost IU in overtime with that field goal. I couldn't believe it happened. I thought that Purdue should have won that game, and they just really blew it up and didn't follow through. But this game still means a lot. You know, even though IU hasn't been having a great season this year, they're still going to play really good that game. They're going to come out and want to win that game, especially beating Purdue at home and with the old Oaken Bucket on the line.
Jimmy?
I basically agree with what he said. The fact that I was there firsthand to witness IU not playing as well, and the other side of them winning that game, there weren't very many people around the campus who expected that they would win. Because remember, last year, IU won their four games at the start of the year, all of them against non-conference cupcakes like Akron and Towson. They went winless in the Big Ten, and then they got blown up by Wisconsin. They lost a bunch of games pretty badly. Looks pretty bad, and then all of a sudden they come out of nowhere against Purdue on the road and win the bucket. I think they're going to show more fight this time around, and Purdue, I'm actually not sure if Purdue has the play calling and the capability of taking advantage of IU's biggest weakness, which is the back half of that secondary. They're going to be five plays a game where IU's secondary blows a coverage or it blows a call. We'll get the chance to talk about this a little more next week. But that's IU's biggest weakness, is that they can occasionally give up big plays on the defensive side of the ball. Purdue can make big plays, but I don't know if they can make them as consistently as to put up points when IU makes a mistake, because they've been playing more and more consistency on those better plays in recent weeks. Ohio State made a few big plays, which really crippled IU. But for the most part, the defense shut them down. I think they can do a similar thing. Against Purdue, and Purdue's going to have to take advantage of the bigger plays. I'm not inclined to really even pick a winner at this point because I need to really dive into it. But just looking at it, I know IU hasn't looked great. I know IU hasn't won a game. But I've seen Purdue also, and I haven't been terribly impressed with them on the road. I think the Hoosiers have a really decent shot at winning the bucket, if not be the favorites to do so.
All right, guys, well, we're going to have to take a break, and Evan, we're going to go ahead and let you go and come back and talk some IU. You're more than welcome to stay if you want, Evan. But real quickly, where can people find your work, Evan?
You can find my blog at bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com, where I cover Purdue football and basketball. And then you can find me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25, and I tweet pretty regularly about Purdue and about everything, so you can follow me on Twitter.
All right, sounds good. We'll be right back, and when we get back, we're going to jump into some IU, can we just go with basketball? IU football. At least one thing with Evan, we can say that they've won some games. I don't know. But we'll be right back. And guys, you know, we were talking earlier about this new band that's out on the scene called Abandon. And Abandon, actually was selected to do the Fox College Football Anthem And so they were on the show yesterday with myself and Gary. So Abandon's going to Live It Out, their new single, Live It Out. It's going to take us into break. And when we get back, we're going to jump right into some IU football right here and basketball right here on the Balance Radio Network. Like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance, right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Sal Marquis, El Presidente. We've lost Brian. Hopefully we could get him back on the line here any second here. But joining us now, I know you're underneath the weather, Jimmy, the intern, so we won't keep you too awfully long. But one of the things, obviously, we want to touch on, and we talked with Evan, was some basketball and some storylines in the Big Ten. And obviously yesterday, Purdue was out in Puerto Rico. Basketball speaking, IU has had a pretty decent start to the season. So can we kind of get a summary of what's going on? Obviously, we've got some big guys on the court. Obviously, it looks a lot more promising for basketball than football. So what are some of the things that has been going on with IU basketball now that the season is officially underway?
Well, just quick, really quick before I get to that, I wish I would have been able to come on and give Evan some crap about High Point and Iona. Because I think it was like 3 combined points to win those 2 games, and you know, I'm sure there's reasons for that. I'm sure High Point and Iona are decent, and I'm sure that Purdue didn't play as well as they did, as well as they were capable of. But you know, that's still something that you don't want your team to do unless IU fans have some ammunition to kind of pile on you a little bit.
We got to have something to pile on.
Yeah,
that's for sure. All right, so basketball looks a lot more promising than football.
Definitely. Just looking at this basketball team, three games of the season, I'm still in football mode, the fact that they've performed as well as they have, there are a lot of fans around here that are, I'll quote one of them, somebody who's reasonably well-known here around town, who claims to be drunk on optimism. Just because how good this team has looked. They've moved the ball well. They've played defense. They've gotten out and run. They're actually number one yesterday in effective field goal percentage in the country. That's factoring in 3-pointers as an extra, you know, as the extra point that they count as. IU, simply put, is one of the best offensive teams in the country right now. Definitely against the schedule, but the way they played this last Wednesday against Evansville was was really impressive in the first half. I mean, they put up 51 points in the first half, put on a clinic basketball-wise, both offensively and defensively, and they went into the half with a 51-27 lead. I got to see that game in person. I called it for the student radio station. The biggest question before that game was, is IU going to come out strong? And they answered that question in spades. Right now they're working on things. They'll have a chance to work on some more stuff against Savannah State this evening. But right now it's really hard to find fault with anything they're doing.
Well, big guy on the court. You like, impressed? Is he living up to his potential? Or
I like Cody Zellertov. I'll tell you this much. There are a lot of people who are saying that his biggest influence this year is going to be offensively, and that they expect him to score a lot of points and a lot of rebounds. That could be the case, and it has been the case pretty early on. He collected 14-8, I believe, the other night against Evansville, either 14-8 or 9. But really, from what I've seen so far, his biggest influence is going to be on the court. His biggest influence might not be statistically, or at least in any one statistic. He, for instance, put up 6 steals against Chattanooga. He has led the team in deflections that Tom Green keeps, deflections where, on defense you bat a ball away that's intended for an opposing player. He's been very good on defense. I've been surprised. He's gotten the block shots, which you like to see out of a big man. But even more importantly, in my opinion, he's been able to guard without fouling in the post. He's done a very good job staying out of foul trouble and a very good job keeping IU out of foul trouble, something that Tom Pritchard and Derek Elson were not able to do last year. IU's biggest issue last year defensively was twofold, but they couldn't get out on guys and they couldn't stop teams from going to the free throw line. And with Zeller in there, it allows the guards to not sag off the perimeter defenders to help, and it also keeps IU off the free throw line. So we can see a marked defensive improvement. We're already seeing a marked defensive improvement this year. We can continue to see that, and I believe a lot of that is thanks to Cody Zeller playing defense on the interior.
All right, well, we got Brian Jensen, our interim co-host, back. He's also a college basketball expert. No. You have any questions for Jimmy, Brian?
I like Andrew Luck in this matchup. No, I don't have anything.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what, Jimmy, just for fun, is there a guy out there, doesn't necessarily have to be with IU, but is there a guy out there that if the NBA has a season next year, it would be the Andrew Luck of the NBA in college right now?
That's a good question. I think I'll go with Anthony Davis from Kentucky, but he's not nearly as clear-cut as a He's not nearly as clear-cut as Andrew Luck would be. I'll tell you this much, though. If the Pacers get a chance to draft somebody, I have my eye on one guy, and that's Andre Drummond from Connecticut. He's essentially a slightly less athletic Dwight Howard. I love Andre Drummond. And if the Pacers were able to get him to pair with Roy Hibbert up front, oh, boy, look out.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk some football.
Fair enough.
Obviously the football. Hold on.
It's early.
It's early. I apologize. I was hearing something in my ears, and you guys couldn't hear that, don't you? And Jimmy, I know you're on radio a lot sometimes, and things start playing in your ears that. That just totally throw you off, and you're trying to sift around. So that's kind of where I was at. Well, obviously, dun, 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 Michigan State today, it's not going to be pretty again. What are your thoughts? Let's go through the motions anyway. IU, Michigan State. What does IU have to do to beat Michigan State?
Well, it's not going to be pretty in more ways than one, because they're going to be playing in East Lansing on a cloudy November day. And, you know, nothing against East Lansing particularly, but you know, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a huge fan of going up to Michigan this time of the year, just because it's not a very pleasant temperature experience. But if we're talking about the actual game, IU to win, it's hard to give a good answer to that because Michigan State's able to both run and pass. Oh, they had a chance against Ohio State last week because they're even worse passing the ball than I expected them to be, which wasn't great. I mean, Braxton Miller didn't look all that outstanding by any stretch, and most of that was the play calling as well, where they didn't really allow him to get set. Michigan State is not going to, you know, be physically dominated by Indiana. IU's going to have to limit their defensive mistakes in the secondary where they give up those big plays. I mentioned it a little bit earlier where against Ohio State they gave up a bunch of big plays. In the first half, OSU had about 85% of their total yards on 7 plays. They were just huge. Other than that, they stopped them pretty well. If IU can eliminate those 7 defensive plays, you know, maybe they have a chance. But Kirk Cousins is very good. Edwin Baker and Le'Veon Bell are very good. Michigan State has a really balanced offensive attack, and I'm going to have trouble seeing IU being able to do something that they haven't done all year defensively, which is not make mistakes in the secondary.
Well, obviously they're playing for the old brass platoon today.
If I can interject there, what kind of trophy is that? What kind of trophy is a brass platoon? That sounds like something you give as a punishment to somebody. I mean, why would you want that?
It sounds like a frat pledge week trophy or something. Well,
good job,
man.
You get some brass platoon. Thank you.
You
get
it, man.
There's no reason.
Well, obviously, the Spartans hold a 6-0 home record this season and hold a 1-game advantage over Michigan and Nebraska in the Legends Division. I don't see any reason to think that IU's going to be coming home with a spittoon today. I mean, obviously, Michigan State leads the overall series 40-15-2 and holds a 40-12-1 advantage over in the old brass spittoon meeting. Oh, man. So, let's just grab a player out of the hat here and you just tell me your thoughts. Steven Houston.
Well, I'll talk about Houston and Trey Roberson because I'm really glad you picked Houston out of that hat because he's actually had the best season running the ball. He's had the best rushing season overall since Chris Taylor in 2005, and there are 2 games remaining. He's had the best Big Ten rushing season so far since Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, currently the Patriots, in 2003 had for Indiana, and there are 2 games remaining. He could actually end up with this as the most impressive season on the ground for a Hoosier running back in the past decade. And that has something to say about how IU's tried to commit to the run, but also, you know, just how good he's been. And he's a sophomore this year. Steven Houston has, at most, 2 more years here, maybe even 1. I say maybe even 1 because the way he's looked this year and the way IU's offense has improved, he could potentially be an NFL guy after next season. Houston's has been outstanding. Trey Roberson has also been really helpful. He's run the option a little bit. He's provided the dual threat. He's been more accurate than Wright Baker and Keel. And you know, he's made a few freshman mistakes, but he's really been the best quarterback of the 3 that we've seen all year. And IU's recent success on offense, not on the scoreboard, but on offense, has been largely thanks to him coming in and pairing with Steven Houston.
All right, we're going to have to make this the last thought here before we let you go, and I know you're not feeling good, so we are going to let you go. And then Brian, we are definitely going to get back with you, on, and we're going to talk about something that you know about, and that's NFL. But that's cool. Jimmy, we're talking with Jimmy the intern, obviously no stranger to the show. He gives us the insight with Indiana University, both football and basketball. Now, in his last three starts, Trey Robinson is 41 of 71 and has thrown for 540 yards and three touchdowns. The true freshman has rushed for 275 yards and one score and a 4.7 average during the stretch. So let's talk a little bit, if you could kind of talk to us a little bit about Trey Robinson, where he's at, and, well, the frustrations he's got to be feeling.
Well, Roberson has done a really good job since coming in. And honestly, I think the consensus around here is screw Gunnar Keel, we have Trey Roberson, which has been, you know, really kind of fascinating to watch. And I'll be honest with you, Tom, I was kind of in that camp before Gunnar Keel signed. And that might have been a little bit of an overreaction, but I really like how IU's looked traditionally with that dual threat quarterback, Kellen Lewis, Antoine Randall. That's been their biggest success, especially in the Big Ten. And I think having Roberson in there, especially for this team, gives them an added dimension that they really needed. He's definitely frustrated, but he's not letting it get to him. He's still taking things one game at a time. He's a freshman, and he's just trying to get better from week to week. I think we've seen that, actually. And I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty excited for next season. I'm already looking forward to next season. But I'm kind of excited to see next season how this team's able to look, because this year they needed to put they're basically starting from ground zero. Next year with an offensive line that has a lot of freshmen, that had a lot of young players start, give them another offseason to bulk up, get stronger. And then with the skill players already decided, because they spent, remember, the first half of the season trying to figure out what to do. Roberson already entrenched, Houston entrenched, Kofi Hughes, DeWeese Wilson. That's an offense with some weapons. They'll be able to put up points. And if they can do something about that secondary, which they'll have a few months to do, we could be looking at a team. I'm a lot more optimistic about this team for next season than their 1-9 records should suggest.
All right, we've been talking with Jimmy the intern. Jimmy, I hope you get to feeling better, because we're going to hopefully have a lot to talk about on Monday. We're going to talk about an IU win, bringing home the old spittoon. Real quickly, tell us where we can find you at and find your work at, and we'll talk with you on Monday about an update on IU.
You can find us. You can find my work at iusportcom.com. That's www.iusportcom.com. I have a lot of stuff up on there. And also, if you want to check out my weekly radio show from 10 to 11 every Friday morning on WIUX 99.1 FM or WIUX.org. That's Friday mornings, 10 to 11. We have a lot of guests. We have a call in line, so stop them by.
All right, Jimmy the intern talking IU basketball and IU football. We'll be right back. We're going to jump right into NFL. And that's right, guys, the Colts are on a bye.
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G-Balance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com.
And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right. Welcome back to the Balance, Balance Gridiron. Joining us right now is Brian Jensen, Super Colts fan. It is time to talk about some NFL. The Colts are on a bye. So real quickly, Brian, you've got the schedule right there in front of you, as we very well know. Let's go around the NFL. Tell us some of the highlight games to look for this weekend since the Colts are on a bye.
Well, if you're looking at a blowout, I would definitely watch the Green Bay-Tampa Bay game. I mean, Green Bay is just unstoppable. And Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's on fire. I think he's just that good. I mean, this guy is just unbelievable. I knew when he came out that there's something about him that he's just going to be legendary there in Green Bay. And he's pretty much proven it. And I don't even think he's in his prime. I think another good game is going to be to watch is, I really think that Dallas and Washington is actually going to be a good game to watch. I mean, Washington, you know, losing five in a row, I think they want to try and get back into it, even though, you know, their quarterback, you know, they have a little bit of quarterback issues there. And but I still think that's going to be a good game. And Buffalo, Miami, I didn't say it, but I think that's also going to be a really good game to watch. I mean, two teams that can't really figure out what is going on. But Buffalo, I mean, I think we're starting to see their true colors, but I think that's going to be another good matchup.
Right, and I think we got a lot of good games going on this week. Obviously, the Colts are on a bye. Now, some of the things, let's talk about that. You know, we joke about it, and, you know, I don't know when the last time I was really excited about the Colts being on a bye, but maybe this gives them some time to just be away from the press, the media, get some personal time, get some R&R, and to get some little kinks worked out. Obviously, we've lost all hope of being in the playoffs now. Obviously, we have to resign our fact to the fact that the Colts have a losing season. So what are some of the things that you think, Brian, that the Colts need to look at business-wise during the bye week?
Yeah, they need to look at a lot of things. I mean, their defense, I mean, you play a totally different game when Peyton Manning is out. Yes, I mean, even on defense, and a lot of people, I mean, if you're not really that in tune to football and don't understand the football philosophy, you don't really understand the way it works. But the defense, I mean, they have to play a totally different defense now that Peyton Manning's gone. You know, I mean, they're not doing it. And, you know, their defensive backs, always to the defensive backs, I mean, Gerard Powers has, you know, been kind of surprising lately, you know, coming over those two picks in those last two games. But, you know, just the whole season is just, and this is just unbelievable. I mean, we have to have the best-looking roster ever for 0-10 team. I mean, you know, all these Pro Bowlers on there, and Pat Anger is just, you know, 105 tackles so far. I mean, he's just unbelievable. And, you know, he's supposed to be second string to Gary Brackett. I mean, this guy is just playing unbelievable. And, you know, he's the only bright spot pretty much on the defense except for, you know, our two defensive ends, you know, and Bethea is one person, you know. I mean, it's just unbelievable what is going on. I mean, they have a lot of issues to look at. I mean, we could go on and on and on all day, but I mean, it's just, I cannot believe it's gotten this bad.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Let's talk about a little bit about some of the quarterbacks that are out there right now. Let's talk about this Tim Tebow movement that's going on out there in Denver. And those of you that have listened to my show and listened to this show and are regular listeners to the show know that I was on the Tim Tebow bandwagon at the beginning of the season. I'm the one that said, guys, fantasy football owners, pick him up. I'm the one that said, you know, when there was a lot of talk about getting rid of Tebow out there in Denver, I was the one in his corner saying, keep him, keep him, keep him. Now, why is it now that the Main Street media is finally got a hold of things and spinning it around to what I said, all I want to do is have my 15 seconds that says, I told you so. I told you so. Tebow, Tebow, Tebow. Look at our angel from heaven.
You know, I'm glad you brought him up because, man, how do you win a football game throwing two completions? What do you go, 2-for-6 or 2-for-8 or something like that? He wins the football game. And then look at last Thursday. I mean, I didn't watch that game because I don't have NFL Network, but, I mean, I've seen the highlights. It's just like this guy, it doesn't matter how he plays the entire game. If he's down, he's going to figure out a way to come back. If you're down 7 or 14 points, I don't care. He's going to figure out a way to come back. How long will this last? Well, I mean, we don't know that, but, I mean, for this year, I mean, this guy just – unbelievable. I mean, who was it? The offensive coach made a statement at the beginning of the week, if we played a normal offense with Tim Tebow, we'd be screwed. And then he came back later and apologized for that. Well, in one sense, I mean, he's kind of right. You know, I mean, you go out there, you call the play, you hope that the play goes the way that you want it, but then by the time, you know, the ball snapped, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with this guy? I mean, this guy just figures out a way to get in the end zone, either with him or somebody else. I mean, this guy, he just figures out how to win games, and that's all that matters at the end of the day is, you know, the W. And this guy's just, I mean, he's just electrifying to watch. I love it. It's just totally different style of football that we have not seen before.
Well, and it is interesting to see how, obviously, he's still very young in his career, but I tell you what, I haven't seen a city get so excited about a quarterback. And again, I want to say I told you so a long time ago. Tim Tebow was a quarterback to keep, and I said that right here on this show. But and that was to keep Tim Tebow. But you know he's barking on up a legend there, John Elway. If he stays on track, he could be a franchise quarterback and. You know, could be knocking on some of Elway's records, Brian.
You know, people say that, you know, when he came out, he was not going to be an NFL quarterback. He's not, you know, NFL material. But as long as you're finding ways to get that win, who cares what style of football you play? As long as you can figure out how to win, that's all it's about. It ain't about the statistics. It's all about getting the win at the end of the day. And as long as he keeps on doing it, who cares how he's doing it? He's figuring out a way just, you know, let him play. And, you know, it's just, this is something that we have not seen before, this style. I mean, you can go out there for the first three quarters completely just, you know, look horrible. And then come in the fourth quarter and just, wow, who is this guy? You know, or, you know, the last drive of the game, like, you know, does someone come in and change uniforms with this guy? Who is this? You know,
I tell you what. It's fun to watch him. And, guys, we're talking NFL for the rest of the show here. So if you got any thoughts, we've got some open phone lines, 917-889-8516. And give us a call. Give us your thoughts around the NFL, what you think. Obviously, guys, we are coming up to Thursday, which is one of the biggest football watching days of the year.
What the hell is that? It's a turkey. His name is Gobbles.
Gobbles!
And...
oh, my goodness. Turkey Day's Thursday. So let's look at some of those Thanksgiving Day games. Obviously, You can't have turkey and Thanksgiving without the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions very well might win a game, although they are playing Green Bay on Thanksgiving. But they're playing at home, and Green Bay has had a hell of a season. So, Brian, let's look at that game. Thanksgiving Day, Detroit Lions.
I mean, you know, Detroit, they started off hot, and now they're starting to, you know, go cold. And, you know, I mean, how many have they won here? What's their win streak? Is it two? I don't even have the list. I don't even have that in front of me. I thought that they were going to be a 500 team this year, and they came out. They started out hot, and were like, you know, kind of surprised us. You know, I mean, how they started out. But then Green Bay, I didn't think they were going to do this year. You know, and like I said, I mean, Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating, you know, 130. I mean, who has that kind of a rating this, you know, this far into the season? You might have that out of two good games, but, I mean, he's over every game. He's over 100 rating every single game. And like I said, I don't think it's that, you know, he's on a hot streak. I just think it's that he is this good. And I don't see Green Bay losing to anybody this year at all.
Well, and I can tell you one thing. Typically, and if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, I'm not saying that Detroit will win this game, but typically, if you were to ask me at the very beginning of this season, who would take this game? Obviously, I would pick the Green Bay Packers across the board. And I like the way the Lions started off. Obviously, you know, they've got some work to do. But if Detroit can beat Green Bay on Thanksgiving, I think this is huge. I think this is huge. I think this is one of the biggest news stories that you'll see. I think that, you know, Matthew Stafford versus Aaron Rodgers, obviously, and here's the thing, when you look at the statistics back to back, when you look at just the passing statistics, and you look at TDs, 28 Aaron Rodgers, 20 for Matthew Stafford for the Detroit Lions. So I guess my question would be, Brian, you know, when you look at it back-to-back and they're at home and they've been winning games and they've got a fan base behind them, don't be surprised at all. Don't rule out the Detroit Lions in this game at all. I tell you what, it's going to be an exciting game. Oh, another game happening on Thursday. I want to make sure we get to all the Thanksgiving Day games because we will not meet again until after Thanksgiving. Miami Dolphins at the Cowboys. Obviously, this isn't much of a game, if you will. But let's talk about that. Obviously, Miami Dolphins are going to be one of those teams that are knocking on the door for Peyton Manning. So you know. What are your thoughts about this game, Dolphins and the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day?
You know, I don't really believe Miami is, you know, really. I mean, I believe they have a chance in this game, but I just think, you know, Dallas being at home, you know, Thanksgiving Day, you know, I just think it's gonna be all, you know, all Dallas. I mean, Miami, you know, they've won their last two, surprisingly, and you know they're. Well, they could still be in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But yeah, I just don't see Miami, you know, beating Dallas. I mean, you know, they're at home, and you know, it's just something about Dallas football on, you know, on Thanksgiving that's always, you know, something always comes out of that, you know, as far as, you know, in Dallas's favor, I think, and you know, playing against Miami, I just don't see it. I don't see Miami beating Dallas.
Oh, not at all. I think this is going to be one of those blowout games, and I think, you know, that would be the time for you to get some leftover turkey sandwiches, take a nap, or whatever it is that you do on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, to me, is a great time to have, you know, just football. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, who's this? Hello? Hi, caller. Who's
Hello?
This? Yeah, hi, who's this?
Yeah, this is Nick from Boston.
Hi, Nick, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to know what you thought about the Patriots secondary. I mean, them going against the Kansas City Chiefs this Monday with Tyler Pacheco. What are your thoughts on that?
Brian, go ahead.
I'll let you go on this first.
You let me go first,
yeah.
On this. So, I tell you what, I like the Patriots. And here's the thing. They've not been – I don't think that the secondary's been completely as good as they could be. I guess there would be a lot of questions about the secondary that are going on with New England. But I don't know. That's a very, very good question. How old are you, caller?
Can you
Hello?
Say that again?
I say, how old are you? Hello,
I'm
can you hear
12.
Me? 12 years old, and he's asking about the Patriots secondary. That's good.
Intelligent question for a 12-year-old.
Do you need a job?
Do you know about college football?
I'm not a huge fan of college football. I mean, I follow it somewhat, but I'm more of a I follow NFL a lot more closely, but I follow all sports pretty much, professional or semi-professional. I mean, like minor league and stuff.
Well, to answer your question, did you say Pee Wee?
I said D League.
Oh, I was like, well, that's cool. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what, to answer your questions, I think the secondary's got a lot of work to do with the New England Patriots. I think that their offense is really what's carrying this team right now, and the quarterbacks will go up against some tough receivers in the next 2 weeks with Kansas City, Dwayne Bowe, Steve Johnson, and Jonathan and Baldwin. I'm really not that impressed with the Patriots secondary. I think they have a lot of work to do. I think that if we relied on them to carry the team, we would have some issues. Fortunately for you guys, you've got a great offense there going on with Tom Brady and some of your others. So I think that said, I think that you've got the overall mix and the secondary. It has a lot of work to do. I've not been that impressed, and I know that doesn't make me the most popular guy out there, but I just haven't been that impressed with the Patriots secondary. I think that when you play for the New England Patriots and you play for the coach that you have for the New England Patriots, you should be a heck of a lot better at the secondary position and positions like safety and on those secondary defense positions than what they're playing. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. But I mean, like, I'm a little skeptical of Kansas City right now because, I mean, if you have a guy starting named Tyler Pacheco, then I think they have some problems there. And, I mean, I'm not that. I mean, I think Pacheco is going to be pretty good. I think he's going to be kind of like a Castle kind of guy. Come in for quarter, maybe starter gets hurt, comes in, next year he'll get traded to another team, and then he'll become like a Matt Castle. He'll be a starting quarterback. He'll be okay, but he won't be like as good as like Brady, but he'll be a good starting quarterback.
There again, this kid is way beyond his years, and and you said your name was Chris?
My name's Nick.
I don't know where I got Chris at, but Nick, we're just gonna call you Chris. How's that sound? Nick, I really enjoy talking. Do you play fantasy football?
Yes, I do play fantasy. But my team isn't that good this year. I mean, I won last year, but this year isn't that good.
So tell us a little bit about your fantasy football team and what is your strategy each year when you do your draft?
Well, I have my strategy really is I have a couple different ones. One of my main ones is that I like obviously take the quarterback first. That's everybody pretty much does that. then go running back. But I like to, after about like the fifth or sixth pick, I like to grab a defense because I think that if a good defense is there, if you grab them early and you get the top defense and they play good that season, they're going to contribute a lot of points rather than getting a crappy defense. I also think that I didn't get great wide receivers this year, but I also think try to get two decent running backs too. I mean, I know that's basically what you're supposed to do, but if you can pick those guys up early and then that's what you should do. But I like to get my defense pretty early in the draft, and then surprisingly, some years like I'll pick the defense, and then like everybody else will just in the draft will start just copying me and start picking their defenses. So I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's an excellent strategy, and I tell you what, you're probably on an island all by yourself out there, Nick, because a lot of people wait till the end of the draft, and myself included, to draft their defensive positions. So my hat's off to you to being brave enough to draft a defense early, and my guess is you've probably got some pretty good defenses this year. Who are your defense picks this year?
Since I got the first ranked this year, I got Steelers, but they've been pretty good. They haven't been they've been contributing solid points, but and then I have Bears backup who once in a while I'll just throw them in, see what turns out. And one of these games, a couple games ago, I think two or so, I threw them in and they got like 23 points from killing whoever they were playing. So, I mean, I just take risks sometimes, and I just picked up David Nelson from Buffalo last night and got rid of Jabbar Gaffney because he wasn't doing much. But my team's been really bad, and I don't know why, because I have Brady starting at quarterback. And I have pretty decent running backs, Jones Drew and Reggie Bush. But
hey, Tom.
Okay, caller. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I think you found your new co-host, so I'm going to hang up now. This kid's good. This kid is good.
Nick, we're going to give you the caller of the day. So glad that you could join us, but unfortunately, we've got to let you go. We're running up against the clock here. Nick, keep up the good work, man, because it's been great talking with you, buddy.
All right, you guys on next week?
We'll be on next week of this.
Oh, yes.
We're on every week
same
between
time.
9 and 11 Eastern time. So just give us a listen.
All right, I'll be here. Hopefully
all
be
right.
Calling in next week. All right, thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Yep.
What a great caller. Nick from Boston.
I'm just sitting here kind of like in shock. Wow.
I love it. You know, we just talked to a future ESPN host. You know that,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. That's the next to Chris Berman right there.
Absolutely. My goodness. Nick from Boston, thanks for calling. Hey, tell all your buddies at school that, hey, we're the coolest guy on radio, and you'll be on next. When you call Nick, I guarantee you we're going to have you on the show. Man, that kid is way beyond his years.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
Guys, we're coming up to the two-minute warning. So, Brian, take 1 minute and walk us around the NFL for the two-minute warning. Go.
Well, thank goodness the Colts, have a bye week because we don't have to worry about them losing, of course. Chicago and San Diego, I would definitely, that game's going to be something to watch. I mean, San Diego's lost four straight. Chicago has won four straight. I believe that is going to be, that's going to be a really fun game to watch. I mean, San Diego wants to get back in the mix, but Chicago, they're proving themselves. They're proving themselves, and that's kind of shocking to me because I don't really like the Bears. And Tampa Bay, Green Bay, see if they can do it. And on Thanksgiving, just enjoy your food, enjoy your family, and watch some football.
All right, we'll go ahead and give the last minute. Better late than never, Mr. Gary L. Snyder. 1 minute, go.
What game are we doing here?
We were just doing the last 2 minute warm up. Thanksgiving Day. I tell you what, you just say whatever's on your mind. You got about 45 seconds.
Yeah, sorry. We had parent meeting after the game today, unannounced. Want to thank them for that. Everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Check out my show with Tom during the week. Great guests coming up. And you can always check out some of our past shows with a lot of awesome guests. Best of on Friday, too. So
there you go. Gary L. Snyder, the Gary L. Snyder Show, and you can catch me and Gary every day right here on the Balance Radio Network from 5 to 7. Well, that's going to do it, guys. We are out of here. We'll see you again live on Monday as we count down to Turkey Day right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a b, didn't you?
That's all, folks.